Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More Crash and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Fitzpatrick down the sideline, has a man open, and he's got him. Devontae Parker with the catch.
Devontae Parker against Stephon Gilmore. Gilmore gets caught cheating into the backfield. He's peeking into the backfield. The inside receiver has an out route. Gilmore is peeking to see if that's where he's going to jump, and Parker is able to get down the sideline and just get behind him.
Fitzpatrick, that pass is complete across the 25 to Devontae Parker.
It's been a good battle all day, as you see. Four catches, 77 yards, leaning in Parker's favor at this point in time.
This one's going to go deep, and the catch is made by Devontae Parker.
Hour number two of Gresh and Keefe on a rainy Friday. Gresh is in Vegas for the Conor McGregor fight, so Gary Tangway is in.
Did he tell you if he was going to the range to shoot machine guns?
He did not mention if he was going to shoot machine guns or not.
Have you ever heard that story?
No.
No, he and
him
Mrs.
shoot
Gresh.
Machine guns.
Oh, he and Mrs. Yeah. Gresh.
Yeah.
Mrs. Gresh, have you met Mrs. Gresh?
I've never met her.
She is a hot ticket.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now. Oh, Betsy.
Hot ticket.
If you are married to Andy Gresh...
Well, you'd have to be.
You gotta be,
yeah,
right?
Gotta be.
But she is a lot of fun.
Okay.
She is, as they say, a hot ticket.
Okay.
And they went out there for their first, I think, when they were together, whatever, and you could go to these, like, indoor shooting ranges, and some of these places are run by, like, you know, ex-Army, like, ex...
Got it.
When I say ex, I mean, I'm talking about, like, guys that were standing behind enemy lines to kill people that you don't know about.
I got
right?
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So...
Kind of off the books.
So you go, off the books. So you go in, you got a menu, right? Now imagine this.
This is in Vegas?
This is in Vegas, okay. Outside of Vegas. This is Gresh. There's a couple things you can do outside of Vegas. One of them
I've seen the Bunny Ranch show.
But anyway,
rest in peace, that guy.
God bless him. It's capitalist. So you go and you get a menu.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe Gresh has not told you the story.
I don't think so.
You got a menu, and it's like, do you want the A package, the B package, the C package? And of course, they get like the A package.
You want the A package.
I mean, you know, it's not rocket launchers, but it's like
close.
Machine guns.
Like Uzis.
So they bring out, out like the heavy duty stuff.
And what do you
like,
shoot? Targets or people?
Yeah, because it's like a fire, like a police firing range, right? So you go
in. The most dangerous game. You get to hunt a human.
And you,
you get to go out there. They get a guy. He might be a criminal. So it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter.
You know,
and you just get him out there and you hunt him a little bit. Yeah.
So
you ever shot a machine gun?
No.
No. Wow.
You?
No, just like shotguns.
No, I shot like not. Yeah, I'm from Maine, so when I was younger, I shot a gun.
But not like a machine gun.
No, but so like, but he, but they would have like the, you know, the automatic machine gun pistols and all that stuff. So can you just
maybe
see
he's doing that now?
Can you just see Gresh with the goggles, right? Strapped with bullets,
yeah.
Like Rambo, right?
And it's like stuck to his face.
He's like
the double XL goggles.
He's like Elon, you know. Yeah, he's got a picture of Zolak or whatever. Down.
Yeah, yeah, it might be.
Oh
yeah, that's
my
pretty
God.
Good. So that's might be what he's doing right
that's
now.
That's definitely what he's
as
doing right
he's
now.
As he's preparing for the McGregor fight tomorrow night. I know he's very excited about that. And he'll be back for the show on Monday. But before the break, you were talking about how you think Stephon Gilmore, and by the way, nice job by John putting together a highlight package of his worst game in a Patriots uniform, which is, I'm sure, when they do their contract negotiations, Belichick is thinking of that game.
It'll be on the big board.
Remember this game when we could have locked up a first round bye and Devontae Parker got by you many, many times? But you think he might be sweating a little bit.
I do, because generally when you hit Twitter and you have to delete things, that's a pretty good sign. And Bill,
how many tweets have you deleted in your time?
Like one or two, but they weren't that bad. It was actually, they were more political.
Oh, here we go. Yep, you start getting into that
and
realm. You're like, vote no on two!
Whatever, and then I
like,
said, you know what? I just don't need this. So that's
Blue Lives Matter.
What's that?
John saved this clip. I was reading it off of a transcript, and then now John uses that, so it's like I said that. Blue Lives Matter. Thanks, John.
So that's the only time I deleted something. But I mean, take something down, that means that, you know, I think he wants a deal. I think that he's sweating it because, let's face it, when it comes to the Patriots, and I change my mind on what the Patriots should do every minute. I really go back and forth. Like I cannot make a consistent take on it. Well, sure, let's run it. We'll run it about. But I think that we all know what Bill does. I mean, Bill does not flinch.
He doesn't, but this is also a unique time compared to when other guys wanted money, I feel like.
Fine argument, and this is the argument I have with myself.
Right, because they loaded up. They spent a lot of money on Nelson Aguilar and Matt Judon and all. Name a million guys. 70
years old. This is the last run.
Last run. You don't have Tom Brady to bail you out. You need to be great everywhere else because your quarterback is below average. And you pay all these other guys, and then you're going to give up your best corner, which is probably the most important position on the defensive side. And I don't think it's going to be, oh, you got to sign him to a new five-year deal at, you know, $20 million a year. If you can get away with just bumping him up for this year, I'd do it. I don't want to get into a long-term deal with him, and I don't know if that's what he's demanding.
I think he is.
So maybe you meet in the middle and you say, listen, Stephon, you're under contract for one more year, $7 million. We'll turn that into $14 million, and then you can be a free agent next year, and then we'll go from there. Because I don't think he has a lot of good years left. I think this is one of them.
Well, that's why I think he's sweating it. Because he's coming off an injury.
That's a factor in this.
He's coming off an injury. You get into your 30s. You know, you start to see your football life flash before your eyes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't recover as well as you once did. And you have a coach that has a history of not blinking to a point where, you know, I mean, Tom Brady went to Tampa. I mean, the greatest quarterback of all time. He let the greatest quarterback of all time walk.
For nothing.
Right, for nothing. He let him walk for nothing. So,
He had a good backup plan.
If you're, well, Cam Newton. So you're sitting there.
Yeah.
And you know, not only with Brady, but we've seen him do it with Deion Branch. We've seen him do it, you know, with other players. I mean, you know, he sent Vrabel packing.
Well, he's traded Seymour.
Seymour.
He traded Logan Mankins. Like,
and
plenty of guys.
Who's the, big nose tackle from a couple years ago that I should have known?
Vince Wilfork?
No, not Wilfork, after him. Who had a pretty good
Kyle Love.
Was that it?
No. I think the guy with diabetes?
No, that's not it. No. Now you're screwing with me. Now,
that's
really
real player, at least. I didn't make up a guy. He was
a
nose tackle who was here and then gone.
I gotta look it up.
Shime knows who it is.
Like
who
Malcolm Brown?
Yes. Is it him?
The rookie they drafted, and then he just kind of went to a sweet good night.
I got
really cared, and then I got into an argument with some guy on Twitter who told me he was a good first-round
pick. Silver Salinga?
I was like, what are we even doing here?
All right, maybe.
Silver Salinga.
That's not him. No, that I know.
You don't think it was Silver Salinga?
I know, that's not it. You guys, now you guys are screwing me.
Lawrence Guy.
Okay, anyway.
Big fella up front, Ted Washington.
No. All right, stop it. All right, I'm making an ass of myself.
Sam Ryan here. Sam Adams, the keg.
Sam Adams.
Akeem Hicks.
Ooh, Akeem Hicks was a good one.
Oh, he got a huge deal in Chicago.
Went to the Bears. Now, Jabal Sheard, more of an edge player.
Okay, go with Hicks. Run with that. Whatever.
Yeah, it's Hicks.
But
what's your point?
I don't know anymore.
Okay. Well,
but my point is that other than Brady, there's a long history of Bill not blinking. And just saying, fine, you want to go play somewhere else for more money, and that's fine. So this is the argument I have with myself, is I have your argument that you just made, which makes a ton of sense.
Thank you.
And then
but
I
this
go
would be like an 07, for example. So 06 is frustrating. You don't win it. 07, they loaded up. They got Adalys Thomas, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Dante Stallworth. They went crazy in 07. And let's say, I'm trying to think, who would it have been? Let's say Asante Samuel wanted a few more million dollars. Would you have been like, no? Like, I know that's not what Bill wants to do, but for the betterment of the team... Like, in this case, I think you kind of have to, especially with the quarterback situation. But let's give away some money.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is LATE, L-A-T-E. Text LATE to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. You'll have another chance to win $1,000 next hour and every hour throughout the day, all the way till the 5 o'clock hour on OMF. Well, speaking of tweets, Stephon Gilmore has had a couple recently. Well, one, they're both kind of retweets. One was from the NFL Network that was talking about the 2021 expectations for Stephon Gilmore.
Trey Flowers
didn't play defensive tackle.
He was on the defensive line.
Defensive end.
More of an end player.
He never played nose at
and
all.
What's the point about him?
But
he played his whole deal and then signed a big contract somewhere else?
With Detroit.
There wasn't like a real contract dispute with him, though.
No, but he didn't sign him. But people were like, they just let him go. Yeah. But that was a guy that you could have signed.
Well, they got a third round pick though.
Yeah, you don't want to sign him for that he made a lot of money with Detroit. That was a Matt Patricia signing.
I'm just happy I remembered the name.
Yeah, or did somebody text you the name?
No, I looked it up. Oh, okay. Football reference.
Same thing happened with Akeem Hicks, by the way. He had a great year here. Paid him a ton of money and Bill let him walk.
Gary did find his phone, by the way, with the help of Shime, who had to call it, and it was located in his bag. But Brandon Flowers, it's kind of funny that you just said Trey Flowers, but yeah. Brandon Flowers on the NFL Network said Stephon Gilmore is the best corner in the game, to which the Gilly Lock retweeted that with the double exclamation point emojis.
So here's the other argument that I have with myself. Right. So
have it with us.
So I think what you said is true. And then I go to the other side and I will say, okay, but if I'm Bill and I offer him $10 million, and he doesn't take it. Is this guy really going to sit out? Is he not going to play?
No, especially with the fine structure now, when he misses $50,000 a day in practice, and then what is it, like $300,000 for the games?
If your intent is he's going to go to free agency at the end of this year anyways, why give him any money? So if you say, say you're going to play for your $7 million, I've already bumped you up, mm-hmm. you're coming off injury, I paid you a ton of money when you came from Buffalo, right? But if you want to go get that big money, you got to play this season.
Right.
Now, he could choose to show up, week 8?
Yep.
So it's not, okay.
Yeah,
so,
right. So it's still a year.
So it's still a year. So
but that's a lot. He's getting fined a ton. And then you got to start doing the math. You're like, you're asking for this. So even if you get a pay raise, well, all it does is make up for all the fine money.
So if I'm Bill Belichick and I'm not signing him long term, see if he blinks.
I guess, but I think the flip side is you need him. Like this is
him. But do you think that Stephon Gilmore, knowing what he can make next year,
yes,
is going to sit out week 1? I don't think he is because he's already peeing his pants, Rich. We're starting
to see if he's peeing his pants.
He's tweeting his agent putting stuff out there.
He likes to tweet a little bit. Doesn't mean you're peeing your pants.
Of course it is.
A tweet doesn't mean you're.
No, listen. What's the hardest thing to do when you like a girl? Not call her.
Not pee your pants.
Well, that too.
Or in John's case, poop your pants.
Well, yeah, I know. God bless him. But I can't believe he got a fourth date out of that, which just amazes me.
No, he didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you got four? I thought it was just two.
Okay. No, I got four.
It changes as the summer goes on. Next week,
the fish was this big.
But I mean, if I'm Belichick, I go, all right, Stephon, then you can set out the year. Is he going to set out the year? No, because if he has a good year, next year, he's going to get a big contract.
But you kind of... I think you need him, though, is the thing.
But my point is, do you think he'll hold out?
I think he could. Yeah, I absolutely think he could.
See, I don't think he will. Based on the behavior I'm seeing so far, okay. I don't think he will. So this is how I feel today. Now talk to me in an hour, and I may be on your side.
I just think they're in a position where Gilmore suddenly does have leverage because of because I think they loaded up so much on defense. They loaded up across the board. Mm-hmm. Bill cannot go 7-9 again. There is a desperation. Oh, by the way, week 4, you're playing Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You're playing Tom Brady.
They're going to lose that game anyway.
They will, but you got a puncher's chance with Gilmore out there. Or at least you're going to make it more difficult.
But this is the argument. Okay, this is where we disagree.
I think the scheduling of that game is actually important to Gilmore, too.
No one disagrees that, I mean, he's needed.
Yeah.
I mean, when people say replace J.C. Jackson with him, that's foolish.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
that's
ridiculous. That's not the same. Like, will Bill go with him, the kid, instead of, no.
Because then guess
not.
What? Bill's going to run into the same problem next year when J.C. Jackson's restricted. And if he's elevated as the number one corner all year, what kind of money do you think he's going to want?
And he's not as good as Gilmore.
He's not. No.
Okay, so that's it. So... we both agree that you need Gilmore. Where we disagree is, I think Gilmore will cave and come in.
Okay. I think the Patriots will cave because they did last year. Gilmore wanted more money last year. He wanted more money up front. So they didn't like rework the deal all that much. They just kind of moved some of this year's money into last year, like 2021 into 2020, gave him a bump, and he didn't miss any games. But you remember there was a day or two at practice that he didn't miss, or that he did miss, and then Bill said it was excused, and then they fixed the contract, and then he was there. So there's already an example of them caving for this
player. But why is he tweeting and why is the agent saying stuff? Why are they putting stuff out there? Because I don't think Bill is talking to them.
I don't think he can help himself. He retweeted Ja Morant, of course, the star of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Love him, man. He's one of my favorite players.
He's fun, too.
I love him.
He tweeted, stay humble, but know your worth, to which Gilly Lock retweet. So I assume he kind of... I know retweets don't always equal endorsements, but I feel like in this case it probably does. Stay humble, but know your worth.
But I'm telling you that, and I think there's two decisions. I think there are two things that Bill Belichick is just waiting out. One is who starts quarterback week 1.
Yep, huge.
He's going to make that decision the Wednesday before the game.
Yep.
And this, and I think Bill, like, why would Bill try to, why would Bill sign him now?
But this is great because these are two massive decisions that Bill has. One is clearly a coach's hat decision, and the other is clearly a GM hat decision. And so I have faith in him way more so as a coach.
So if you're Gilmore, do you take the 14 for a year?
Yeah.
But I want three, Rich. Give me three. I want three. I want stability. I got to feed my family. I want some consistency in my life.
I would say, all right, give me 14, and then you can't franchise me. Or something like that, because the players like the whole freedom thing. Although, a franchise tag for a 31 or 32-year-old corner is actually not that bad of a deal. But if he wants that, say, listen, you're not going to get that. You can hold out if you want, and you'll get paid whatever it is, $7 million, but you're going to get fined most of it, and you're going to get half of that.
Whatever,
By the time you play half a season and with all the fines, like, that's not a lot of money for what he expects to earn. So we can give you a bump this year, and then you can try to make as much as you want next year. That's what I would do. Because I also, again,
I'd wait it out because I think he's coming in. Because even at $7
million, he'll just play for seven?
I think he's coming. I think he's
coming.
He wouldn't
play for 13 last year, whatever it was.
Okay, but if he doesn't play this year, his value goes down next year, doesn't it? Or
did
does
it for
it?
Le'Veon Bell? Did Le'Veon Bell's value go down when he missed an entire year? Did Logan Mankin's value go down when he missed half a year?
Well, Logan couldn't play anymore.
I know, but he still
his knee was gone. No, I know.
I know.
But his knee was gone. The Bell thing is a good argument. Now, again, the argument you can make against me, which I have this, I have a lot of alone time
You've
in
done
my
this
house.
Fight. Yeah.
I literally, dude, I'm not kidding. I go back on this. Then the argument you can make is, well, if he misses half a season, comes in week eight, and I give him a big deal next year, let's tread on the tire. So it might actually help his free agent status that he only plays half a
season. You're right. Like
and
age
then because there's less wear and tear.
Yep, I could see that a little bit.
You should be in my head. People, just spend some time in my head. It's a really interesting place.
Do both sides have the same voice? Is it like a deep voice, or is one of them like a high voice?
No, but they're both basically the same.
Both nice. Yeah. That's pretty good baritone in there.
Well, yeah. But why it's a great debate is it's all possible.
It is, but I think like we saw this coming. Like a year ago, we're like, oh, Gilmore, they changed the contract, so he's only going to make seven next year. He won't play for that. We've all said that. I thought he was going to get traded. Before this big splash in free agency, didn't you think they might have traded him at the deadline last year?
Okay, now there's another argument for you.
Yeah.
If they didn't trade him, they're going to give him the money.
Yes.
And that's probably, as I think this through, that's probably what's going to happen. If he wasn't going to give him the money, if he was going to sit on the $7 million, he would have dealt him. So that
they didn't trade him then, and you could say, well, he was hurt. Well, they didn't trade him at the draft this year either, which could have been a possibility.
I mean, the fact that he's still here is, I just think Bill's going to make him sweat.
And they didn't draft a corner. Some thought in the first round they could have drafted one of those three guys that went all pretty high. They didn't. They obviously went quarterback.
Now, did Bill want a corner?
He probably did. But
or
he didn't.
Robert want the QB?
Maybe so, but either
way. That's the one thing I will never know. Now, watching
who drafted the quarterback?
Watching that draft video, like in the draft room, that whole farce. Everybody okay? Rich, you okay?
Yeah,
hey, what's
I love
your name
it.
Over there?
Yeah.
Hey, who are you?
I'm behind you, Bill. Great pick.
I wish just
this guy.
One,
yeah.
Like the fifth regional scout from Nebraska. I don't like the pick. It would have been like, what?
I'm against it. I've always been against it.
Yeah, I'm against it.
Yeah.
That was Robert Kraft's room. No doubt.
Kind of interesting, isn't it? Like, allow that?
But here's the, like I said before, look, and this, Bill knows this better than anybody, and Parcells have too. Owners are owners. You know, at the end of the day, Bill even knows. Robert, look, I don't think that Robert and Bill are best friends. I think they're business partners,
sure.
And they've been very good business partners.
I would say pretty successful.
But I also think that Bill knows Robert gave me a shot. And he gave him the money, and
you
I think
even 21 years later, he thinks that.
Well, I think what he's done is so far this guy has given me the tools to succeed. I mean, he has.
Well, of course he has.
Right,
but part of that is because he's not timing 40 times like to Bucky Jones, like when Parcells was here.
Press corner. Well, he's going to play press corner. People are like, what the hell is that?
I don't think he's doing that anymore, so I think that's been part of
the
success.
He let him run the ship, but that was definitely Robert Kraft's room. But this is what I don't believe, is I still think Bill wanted a quarterback.
Wanted a corner.
A quarter.
Oh, wait, Bill wanted a quarter?
I don't think Bill was crazy. Yeah, no,
I can't hear.
He wanted the man that throws the ball.
Got it.
I still think that Bill knew, because I've talked to
But did he want Mac Jones?
I think that he probably liked Mac Jones as much as any of them.
I don't think you just sit there at 15 and pray. I'm with Shime on this. That's what Shime's big take is. Most teams that kind of are not in the top five, let's say, trade up to get their guy because they're fearful of another team doing it. We saw the Chicago Bears do it. We saw the San Francisco
49ers do it. So who do you think he wanted?
It?
Just whoever was there?
I think he probably wanted the best defensive player, and then Mac Jones is there, and they probably came to a consensus before, Kraft, him, maybe talked to Josh a little bit about it too, maybe, and they said, all right, well, if one of the five quarterbacks is there, we kind of have to take him, but I'm not moving up. I'm not trading more things for him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I don't think Bill...
I don't think he opposes it. I don't think they have a gun to his head.
I don't think he could be anti-pick and then still run the team. I don't think you'd be 100% against it because that would be against Bill. He'd just quit at that point. If they told him straight up who to take,
right?
I don't think he would. I don't think Bill would do that.
Yeah, it's more so just like a heavily influenced decision.
And he knows he needs a quarterback.
I don't think he loved any of these guys outside of maybe the top three guys. I bet he probably liked Lawrence, Wilson, or Lance. He probably liked one of the three. But as soon as those guys are gone, it's like, well, what am I going to do?
Which is the BYU guy again? I always forget.
Zach Wilson of the Jets.
Yeah, I hate him. He's going to be a bust.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like him.
He is
caffeine-free Zach Wilson.
A lot of hype already in Jets camp for him and their young wide receiver, Elijah Moore.
I like Elijah Moore a lot.
Might be the number one receiver coming into the year.
But I think if you're Bill, and if you wanted a defensive player, and then you see Horn, Surtain, and Micah Parsons all go off the board ahead of you, you're like, all right, we'll just take the quarterback then.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's just tough
when there's two great linebackers. Zaven Collins, Jamin Davis were both on the board, and Caleb Farley was on the board.
Well, those will be guys to watch the whole time. Like the guys that went right out. Zaven Collins was the next pick.
But now more than that, but more than ever, if you come back with Cam Newton as your quarterback this year, he ain't seeing Shula because he's going to be gone.
You don't think he can make the playoffs with Newton? I think he can.
I guess, but what does it all mean?
Well, if you're talking about chasing Shula, like I think he can get wins with
how many is it? Like 40? Is he 40 shy?
Yeah, something like that. It's couple seasons worth for sure.
Well, a couple. 3 seasons maybe? You got to get in the double digits.
Is it 40? If it's 40 wins,
again. You got to get into double digits.
Yeah. Well, they added the game. It's a 17-game schedule now. That helps.
He is 48 wins away from Don Shula.
Right.
Oh, my God.
He's still 35 away from George Halas.
He's five seasons then.
Yeah.
Is that playoff and regular season? Because I know some people use that number, some people don't. We don't really need to bog down with
whatever,
that.
But I'll tell you this. I don't think he gets it in New England. I've always said that.
Where the hell is he going?
Just regular season wins.
Then he doesn't get it then. You think so? So he's got to have 5 seasons.
You think
Bill's
going to coach somewhere else now? We should start the show with that.
Or
10 o'clock.
Or he doesn't get it.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense to me than.
I don't think he gets it. 48 wins. He's 70.
Yeah, these guys can coach forever now.
No, I know, but I mean,
hitting all those Subway subs.
Yeah, okay.
What do you mean?
But I mean that's not like people
that
talk about
it
like
lost it's, like 500 pounds on but, it. He's but, the face but, of the franchise.
But people talk about that. It's not a big deal. Like, oh, we can get the 48 wins. That's if this doesn't work out, you think if this blows
up
in his
Newton's
face.
Not going to be the quarterback for the next 5 years. He might be lucky to be the quarterback for the next 5 years.
Say Mac Jones doesn't work out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not an automatic.
No, but I don't think his rosters going forward will be as bad as they were last year. And he won 7 games with that roster. I think Bill is like five. At worst, he's going to be 500 the rest of the way. So then maybe you have to tack on more seasons. But I don't know. I think they have enough talent to win more than that.
He's going to be in a wheelchair, man. All
right, you can do the press box like Joe Paterno did.
Joe Paterno.
He was up in the
press box.
Still winning games. All right, here's Chris Schein with what's trending.
We're back to Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
We don't know much about Martha Cabrera or her exact relationship with Harlan.
Oh, my God, Martha, what is all this? What did you do? Is that here?
Oh, yeah, it is. Wait, so is that true? Are we rich?
Which is now in question. This is a story so compelling it was in written the story himself.
Marta, Anna de Armas stepped on my line.
Hey, lady, can you stop talking for a second?
Listen, okay.
The guy on the TV is telling us something important. I want to hear him.
So you've dated Ben Affleck. Right. You're a movie star. You're in the Bond movies. Yep. You're in Knives Out 2. Is she in that? No, she's not in Knives Out 2,
I don't think. No, Daniel Craig is the only, holdover.
Well, I haven't got a call yet to go to Greece.
Tango, it'd be a different newsman.
I think they're wrapping this week, so if you haven't gotten the call yet,
I don't think it's going to happen.
That would be great, though, if Tango was just the news guy in every Knives Out movie, and then people would be left being like, So that is that the same guy? Did he get transferred to this country? Like, he, this is a different setup. Like, what is this guy?
I was thinking it'll just be some Greek dude that looks like a Tangopolis. Tangopolis.
Oh, that's a good one, John.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking of, Gary, last week when or a couple weeks ago when you were in, was that Steve Carell, his character Evan Almighty, was in Bruce Almighty as a news anchor. And then when he really took off, that's when they made Evan Almighty.
Oh.
Yeah, but he was Evan, like, that was his character in Bruce Almighty.
Yeah, but he was just a news guy named Evan in that.
By the way, like, and Jim Carrey was probably like, I'm good on the sequel. And they're like, let's go to this guy.
Well, Steve Carell, to me, one of his best roles is Anchorman.
Brooke Tamlin.
Brooke.
Gotta be one of the best.
Rick killed a guy.
4-year-old virgin, though, I would say, is very quotable movie. Too long. Classic Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
half hour. Yeah. Heavy, but very good.
But all of those movies, it's always the supporting characters that are the best.
Yes.
Like the one guy I got to meet at the Super Bowl briefly, which was great, and I spaced on his name again, was the guy.
Bruce Valanche.
The sports guy with the hat.
Bill Simmons.
No.
He originally was the sports guy.
That's right. On Anchorman.
David Koechner, who played Champ Kind.
David Koechner.
Yeah.
People have rated Gresh to Champ Kind a lot in the Twitch chat.
Here's a 3-2 pitch to Sanchez, and whammy!
Quick story, and Andy.
We got 14 questions.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to make it quick.
But it's also story time with Gary.
Okay, wait, I'm going to make it quick.
Yeah.
Because Andy took some grief this morning. So, you know, Gresh took some grief this morning on the morning show.
Never happened in this station before.
Never. So I'm going to make Andy feel great. We were talking about the Gemstones.
I love Righteous Gemstones. Danny McBride. Big Danny McBride fan.
Right. And your wife loves him. My buddy, Chris Pappas from Northborough, is a writer on there and a producer. He wrote a script once with Gresh as a character because he loved the name.
Oh, just Andy Gresh.
Just Gresh.
Oh, Gresh.
But the character was kind of opposite of Andy.
Small
and didn't talk a lot. But when Gresh found out that somebody had used his name in a script, oh my God, he was just like...
He was the movie star.
And it ended up in developmental health.
John, for next time, we're going to need a sound effect for every name that Gary mentions.
Oh yeah.
We're going to need a sound effect.
A different one for each name?
Counter. Just like a counter. That's all.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Yes.
That'll be it, Sean. Yeah. Actually, go get that right now while we're
doing this. All right, so this is movie trivia. So Gary Tanguy, obviously an acclaimed actor in Hollywood films.
You're going to beat me at this.
I am just a lowly podcaster who talks about movies. Hashtag dork. You can get it wherever podcasts are available. John has come up with a series of questions, and we're going to find out who knows more about movies.
All right, first off, I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. Gary, what is that number?
5.
Correct. Gary goes first. Correct.
He's already won.
Nailed it.
All right, Gary. In The Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
The blue pill. I've never watched The Matrix.
You've never seen The Matrix?
I'm not. I don't.
Changed the game in action scenes. It was a brand new day after Matrix.
Yeah, and also not, high school philosophy classes.
I'm not a big Keanu Reeves guy.
Gary Tanguay, watch your mouth. You don't like Keanu Reeves? There's a Keanu-sance going on right now.
I know.
He is the John Wick movies?
The John Wick.
You don't like those?
I haven't watched those either.
Little gun foo for you? Come on.
Movies are great. And I'm not just saying that as...
When Halle Berry said she wants to be in John Wick, I went, oh, okay, they're probably pretty good because I think she's awesome.
She is awesome.
Monsters Ball is my kind of movie.
Is it really?
Well, I mean, that
type of
film.
Do you think they really made love on set? That's one of the questions that's been... People speculate that...
That was the second question, Rich.
I say yes. Seem pretty real to me.
Well,
they're great actors.
Good for Billy Bob.
Billy Bob Thornton also said about that movie that it strained his relationship with Angelina Jolie because of all the love scenes with Halle Berry.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be strange in that relationship. But
remember that was back in the day where she would have a vial of his blood around her neck.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, I mean, Angelina, didn't she steal Brad Pitt when they did Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
The question
She has a history of going out with her co-stars.
Yeah, so like
Ethan Hawke. Brad Pitt.
Yeah, so she took Brad Pitt.
The guy from Johnny Lee Miller from Hackers.
The guy from Wanted. Just kidding.
I don't know where that is.
So question two.
Anyway.
Actually, starting now, so this will be for Rich, but if Rich gets it wrong, everyone else can just jump in. We're not going to do the bells and whistles.
Got it.
All right. What Hollywood movie star plays him or herself in Zombieland?
Spoiler, but it's been out for a while. Bill Murray.
Correct.
See, I'm not going to be good at these.
You don't like Zombieland?
I didn't see it.
Gary only sees movies that he's in.
That is so true.
Loves Knives Out. Multiple, I care a lot.
Multiple times.
If you go into Gary's house right now, he just has I Care a Lot on Netflix. Just on one of the screens. Just constantly waiting for the last 5 minutes.
All right, first audio question here. Ooh. Gary gets first crack.
How about the production value
right,
here?
What movie is this?
Rob Esler, you're looking fetching as usual.
Oh. Okay, wow.
It's because of you my son can't walk properly and has a messed up face.
He stole my angry leg. Just took it.
Yeah. So you are going to look after him while I'm at work? Make sure he has a job and feels included. Got it?
Gary, what movie is that?
I don't know.
No idea.
Is that Scarlett Johansson?
That would be Scarlett Johansson.
So I can recognize the voice. She's not a great actress, but
I love her. You don't love her?
I think she's fine, but I don't think as an out and out actress, I don't think she's very good.
She's no Meryl Streep.
Right, correct. I don't know what movie that's from.
Sean, do you know?
Black Widow.
That is incorrect. That would be listen to her accent. Did you hear her accent? That would be Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Jojo Rabbit.
That.
Yeah,
that was
a
phenomenal movie.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, I should have known
a double
I forgot
feature.
All about it.
I did a double feature one day, and I saw Knives Out featuring Gary Tanguay, and then I saw Jojo Rabbit as well.
That's a nice day at the theater.
Yeah,
that's I forgot
one.
All about that movie, though. It was very good.
Question number four are we on?
Yeah.
Who is the only, and this will start with, I think we're on Rich.
Okay.
Who is the only person to ever receive an Oscar nomination for acting in a Star Wars movie? A nomination. No one's ever won an Oscar for acting in a Star Wars, but one person has been nominated.
Oh, really?
Who is that person?
Hayden Christensen for
Attack of the Clones.
No, I have no idea. I would have guessed just nobody.
Tanguay Shime.
Ewan McGregor?
No. Close.
The guy with the big nose. I always forget his name.
Pinocchio.
Liam Neeson?
No. He was in Black Klansman.
Which
Adam Driver? Oh, he should have been.
He probably should have actually.
He should have won for The Last Jedi.
Which what movie is it from?
It is from Star Wars / Star Wars: A New Hope.
Oh my God! Somebody from that was nominated for an acting award. Alec Guinness.
Alec Guinness was nominated for his role as Ben Kenobi in that.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
That is just, that's like a thank you for your career.
So he lost to...
That's really, a career achievement really nomination. Is.
The winner was Jason Robards for his role as Dashiell Hammett in Julia. I don't know what any of those three things
are. Unfamiliar with that. But Alec Guinness also thought the whole thing was going to be stupid. He was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
That was the first Star Wars, so people it wasn't a hit
right
yet.
Along these lines, Tanguay, who is the only actor to ever receive an Oscar nomination for acting in a Lord of the Rings movie?
Oh, shoot. Oh, I should know this. I'm going blank. I'm sorry.
I'll go for the steal
attempt. I should know this.
Was it Viggo Mortensen?
No.
Chime?
That was going to be my guess as well.
So. It was Ian McKellen for Fellowship of the Ring.
That's what I meant. Yes, I couldn't. Ian McKellen.
Jim Broadbent for his role as John Bailey in Iris.
Oh, Broadbent. He was great.
Yeah. I thought I could see McKellen, but I couldn't remember his
name. Yeah, Ian McKellen. All right, that's a good one.
All right, second audio one. Rich, what is this movie?
Is that Our Friends Again? Looks like it. Dogfight. Who's winning? Us, I think. 2-1-1. I got him.
Rich, what is that movie?
The Dunkirk?
No.
Is that Jude Law?
It's not Jude Law.
It's not Jude Law.
One of those voices was an actor in Game of Thrones, though.
Was that like 1918 or that one-shot movie?
That would be a good job.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're ahead.
That was right before
the sequel, but
that was right before the plane turned on them and almost kills them.
Oh, see, I've never seen it. Never seen it.
It was one of the, I should
have
seen it.
That's a real cinephile question there, John.
Really? You think? There was a ton of hype around that.
I know, but I never saw it.
It's long.
It was all the hype because they just did it in one long camera.
But it also was expected to win everything, and then it lost everything to Parasite.
But it was also one of those movies that the Oscars are in like February or March, and this movie came out in like December, and was like, oh yeah, it's going to get nominated for everything. And it's like, nobody saw it. And then they did because it got nominated.
Wasn't it like 5 hours?
No. You're thinking of The Irishman.
Yeah.
1917 was good. Don't look away. What song? We'll start with who are we on? We're on Gary.
Gary.
What song plays over the opening credits of Guardians of the Galaxy 1?
Oh,
This is embarrassing. I haven't got one right.
No, you have not.
I have not. I haven't got one right. When he hits the bot, he hits the
lizard.
Go ahead.
I can hear it. I'm so bad with music, though, is my
problem.
But
it's like a song from the 80s.
It's not Spirit in the Sky.
Is it Hooked on a Feeling?
Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This would be Come and Get Your Love by Redbone.
Come and Get Your Love.
I would have gone with Hooked on a Feeling. That's what I was
trying to think of.
Rich, along those lines, yes. What Thomas. Song plays over the opening credits of Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Oh. Is it Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by Looking Glass?
Nope.
That's a good guess, though.
Damn. It's an excellent guess.
It's in the great movie. It's just
that's
the
second song. In the, in
that's
the
an awesome song.
Movie,
I listen to that every day. That's a great track.
Anyone?
I don't know it.
That would be Mr. Blue Sky by Electric Light Orchestra.
Oh.
This is when they're fighting the little beast there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And little Groot's about to blow everything up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good one. All right. All right.
All right, Gary, what movie is this from?
You know, people need the church more than ever right now. You know, you can feel it. And the Cardinal, he might not be perfect. But we can't throw out all the goodies doing over a few bad apples.
What movie is that, Gary?
Spotlight.
That is correct.
Yeah!
That is Spotlight.
Yay!
That is. I believe that's right after 9/11 happens.
Wow.
They basically drop the story.
How about that?
That's a great
one.
Movie.
So is Gary up 1-0 right now?
No, you got one.
No, it's 1-1. Because Keith got the first one right.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's rip through these then. Rich, what is the highest grossing rated R movie of all time?
Deadpool.
Nope. Close, but no.
It was something about Mary until.
Incorrect. It was. It was Deadpool. No. No, I'm not doing semantics on you. It was Deadpool 2 until.
I don't know.
That would be Todd Phillips's Joker.
Really?
I was thinking already comedy.
Yikes.
Just over 1 billion. Also, the
did
only
you
one.
See the Joker?
I did. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I liked it. All right, Gary, what movie was incorrectly announced as the winner of Best Picture at the 2017 Academy Awards during the greatest Oscars flub of all time, and what movie actually won?
Oh, God. I mean, Moonlight won.
Correct.
But the one was La La Land?
Yeah.
That is correct. Gary Tangway with a 2-1 lead.
I love both of them.
Good work, Tangway.
Remy Denton in Moonlight was awesome.
We'll give Rich a chance to at least tie or take the lead. Rich, what is the first movie ever to be rated PG-13? And this movie came out in 1984. And it's not 1984.
This would be 84. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Gary Shaw.
Is it Aliens?
It's not Aliens.
No, 84.
I wasn't even alive yet, so I'm just taking shots in the dark.
There's a really bad remake of this movie with Chris Hemsworth in, like, 2011, I want to say.
Red Dawn.
Oh, Red Dawn.
Yes, that would be
Red Dawn.
That
was PG-13?
Yep, the first one ever. I think they didn't have the ranking until then.
I think what it was Indiana Jones was one of the movies that pushed them to making the rating, because they're like, it's not PG, it's not R, so we need to come up with another rating.
I have to correct myself. When I said Remy Denton, I meant Mahershala Ali.
Yes.
I just remember the first time.
He was
time
incredible in that movie.
He was phenomenal in that movie. But the first time I saw him was Remy Denton on the Kevin Spacey show on Netflix.
House
of Cards.
House of Cards, which he's a great actor. He's one of my favorite.
Oh, he's
actors.
Really.
So it appears the actor has beat the podcaster. So why don't I leave you guys with the last one, and we'll open this up to the audience as well. They can hit us on Twitch, text, and Twitter. Only three movies in history have won all Big Five awards at the Oscar. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Actor, Best Actress. There are three of them. Can we name them? Audience, hit us during break. Ooh. Everyone else, think about it.
All right. I got at least one. I know at least one. So we'll get into that. You can join the show, 617-779-7937. Also, what does it mean? Yesterday, the Boston Celtics tweeted out a highlight package of Marcus Smart. Why did they do that?
I don't know.
We'll get into what it could be.
It was short.
Coming up next here on Gresh and Keefe.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
And Kyrie won with LeBron, even though I know he hit a big shot and he was great.
Right.
But he won there, so.
And he's a bitch.
True.
And if you missed a show, download the podcast at weei.com.
She serves them whiskey and wine. They say, Brandon, you're a fine girl.
You're a fine girl.
All right, approaching high noon here on Gresh and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Gresh is off. Gary Tangway is in, the champion of our first ever movie trivia contest.
How many did I get right? Like three?
Yeah, it was.
It was pretty lame.
There's a lot of ooh, close, but no's during that competition.
Yes, there was.
There's a couple of hangover questions, too, that we'll get to during You Got Something. John has a few more in the holster.
Oh, okay.
And people apparently are answering on the old Twitch and text line. John's question about the...
They got all three.
Sweeping the Oscars. They already got them. All right, so very good. Yesterday, Gary, 3:30, 3:45 in the afternoon, the Boston Celtics Twitter account tweets out a... highlight package of Marcus Smart, and it says game changer with like the flex emoji, and then it's a 53-second video of Marcus Smart making some nice diving plays. What is that about?
Did Marcus hack the account?
That's the only thing I can think of. The first response on Twitter is a guy who says, bleep me, don't tell me you extended him. So is
I don't understand, Keith.
Yeah.
The infatuation with this guy by the Celtics. Now, Danny loved him for whatever reason. I mean, Danny would not deal. Whenever he mentioned Brown or Tatum,
throw Smart
he had to throw Smart in. Yeah. And we'd go, why? He's not at the same level as them. He can be a very good defensive player.
Yeah.
When he decides to post up, he's good. We all know he takes way too many threes.
Right.
And we appreciate his emotion, but he has an inflated view of his value.
Yeah, he's just... at times, offensively, just loses his mind.
Just loses his mind.
And it's not a good compliment to Brown and Tatum.
Not at all. And I think that in this town, we overrate the dirt dog sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's, oh, he's a dirt dog. You know, he's like, and I always point to like Trot Nixon, whose numbers were the same as J.D. Drew's, but we hated J.D. Drew, but we loved Trot Nixon.
Correct.
So when you take a look at Marcus Smart, people,
Drew's
I love Marcus Smart.
Better, actually.
Huh?
They Drew's were better. Numbers were probably yeah, better.
I was being cocked.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So then, you know, when I look at Marcus Smart, I go, really, how does he help you win? When he helps you win, it's he makes a key defensive play. He'll make a hustle play. He'll make a three you don't expect. But for the most part, he's not part of the formula to get you to the next level. And here's another thing. I think people view him as a leader, and this is my opinion only because I've never been on the inside of the locker room. I don't think guys listen to him.
No, and yeah, we know they got into like a little bit of a beef in the bubble last year, just a little bit.
Right.
And then this year, it didn't seem like Kemba was really stepping up to being the leader. And as Marcus, like I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
I and mean, also I think, the defensive ability to me is a bit overblown in the NBA when the way the rules are, it's not even Smart's fault, but like it's just going to be an offensive league. Scoring is way up. Marcus Smart is what? Is he going to put the, like if he was in this series, would he put the clamps on Chris Paul? Probably not. Chris Paul would probably still have a pretty successful series, would be my guess.
Right.
Like, there were how many games where they were giving up 150 points?
So, you know, Marcus Smart is a fan favorite. I get it. But don't extend him, and he needs to be discussed in packages. I mean, we know that this roster needs to improve. There are two guys on this team that can help him win in the future, and that's Jaylen Brown and Tatum. And I think Tatum is the only guy that's not tradable.
Right.
So you have to look to see what you can do to improve the team.
He has 1 year left, $13.8 million.
Do not extend him.
So you don't need to extend him. You can either play it out, or if things don't
work out, you trade him.
Because they desperately need still a point guard. And I don't think it's Marcus Smart.
He's not a point guard.
I think ideally he kind of comes off the bench. And he is good defensively, and he just can play on the second unit. Like, I don't need him starting. I don't need him taking a bunch of shots. And if you told me, because I had an ongoing stat, I haven't updated it in a while, but when he took 10 or fewer shots, their record was amazing.
I bet
and
it
if
is.
If he took 11 or more shots, they were terrible, or they were very average or below average.
I bet it is. I mean, on a contending team, he's your seventh or eighth player.
Yep. I agree with that.
On a contending team.
How much different is he than, say, a Patrick Beverley? Are they wildly different players? And yet, I think it's one of those, I agree with you. Like,
it's a great question.
A home fan base would love a guy like this, but around the league probably isn't as valued as high.
I would say that they're very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a good comparison.
Smart came in as a lottery pick. Beverley did not, and so I think the expectations...
I know what you're saying. I mean, he was six, right, overall?
He was sixth overall.
Sixth overall. It was in a great year. I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't. It was supposed to be, and then it wasn't. That was the Wiggins, Jabari Parker, Joel Embiid draft.
Boy, Jabari Parker, what a load. Oh, my God.
I thought he was going to be great.
I was talking about being wrong.
Holy smokes.
I thought he was going to take Milwaukee to the next level. I thought he was going to be fantastic.
Well, he blew both his ACLs. It's not ideal.
Well, no, that wasn't ideal. Yeah. But when I saw him playing for the Celtics, I went, oh, my God, he ate Peyton Pritchard.
Somebody find Peyton. Where's Peyton?
Where is he? And then Jabari goes, burp.
Yeah, he was burped. And he's... What is he, a team option? Like, you could have Jabari Parker back if you want him.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, I'm good.
All right, you can join us, 617-779-7937. Game 2 of the NBA Finals was last night. Also, Gary has already admitted he's rooting for Chris Paul.
I am.
And how far away are the Celtics after watching the Suns and the Bucks play last night? Are you feeling like they are closer than you thought, or are they even further away? We'll get to all that. Coming up next here on Gresh and Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.